All right, so today's chapter is going to be chapter 42, Covenant Confirmation. And so before we get started, let's go ahead and review last week. Do you remember last week's lesson? No, a little bit? Don't worry, I don't remember either. So what does God forbid in the 10th commandment? Yes, coveting or jealousy, desiring people and things that belong to someone else. What is the opposite of coveting? That's right, being content in God and His will for our lives, right? The 10th commandment, right? Coveting is wanting what other people have, right? And so this one was a tough one because when you asked me that question, right, is it bad to want things, right? And it's not necessarily bad, but it's when you become obsessed, right, and when you're jealous of other people and what they have, right? And so the opposite is just being happy, being content with God and what He has given us already. And so for this chapter, we're going to read out of the text, out of Exodus 24, chapter 24, verses 1 through 11. Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 through 11. Then he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him." Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do." Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Then he arose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent young men to the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in the basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire, as clear as the sky itself. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel, and they saw God. And they ate and drank. All right, so a couple of questions. What did Moses speak to the people at the foot of the mountain? The words of God. That's right, the words of God. He proclaimed to them the Ten Commandments and other laws that God had given. Verses 3, wrote them down with the help of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, and then read them again after offering sacrifices. How did the people respond to God's law? That's correct. They promised to do all of it, right? What did Moses sprinkle the altar and people with? Blood. Wow, that's good. The blood of bulls. So sinners cannot worship God unless they have their sin cleansed and God's anger is removed. The blood of bulls could not do this, but it pointed forward to Jesus and his blood. All right, so marriage is a covenant relationship ordinarily entered through a wedding ceremony where the bride and groom take vows. That is a picture of what happened in this story between God and Israel. God had revealed his covenant in the law through Exodus 20 through 23, but now through a ceremony, he confirmed this gracious relationship with Israel through Moses, the mediator. Moses preached the law of God to the people, reminding them of their responsibilities in this relationship. And like a wife vowing to serve and bless her husband until death, Israel responded by vowing to serve and bless the Lord in everything. But though Israel meant what they said, they were sinful, and their sin deserved death. For Israel to live with God, another must die in their place. So along with his covenant word, God provided covenant blood. Blood was sprinkled first on the altar, showing that God had made a way for his anger to be removed. It was sprinkled second on the people, showing that God had made a way for their sins to be removed. The blood of bulls could never take away sins or satisfy God's just anger against sin. But God would provide a Savior who could, and these sacrifices pointed Israel to him. Imagine being invited to the White House to eat dinner with the President of the United States. What a special privilege that would be. But that is nothing compared to the privilege that Moses and the elders were given in this story. Through the bloody sacrifices, they were invited to dine with the Creator of the universe. This is the great goal of God's gracious covenant, drawing us near to Him so that we can know and enjoy Him. But the only way to be brought near is through the blood of Christ. It is His blood sprinkled on our hearts that washes away our sins and enables us to walk with God in love. There is nothing in all the world that is greater than that. All right, so a couple questions. Why does God's covenant with Israel and us need blood? Because blood is needed because of sin. So we cannot live in a loving relationship with God, which is what the covenant is, unless our sins are punished through the death of another in our place. So could the blood of bulls truly deliver Israel from their sin? No, that's correct. So these sacrifices were pictures given to Israel to prepare them for Jesus. Every believer in the Old Testament was saved on the basis of Christ's blood alone. And the last question, how does Christ's sacrifice enable us to keep covenant with God? What was that? That's correct. So through Christ's blood being sprinkled on our souls, we are forgiven, restored to a right relationship with God, and strengthened to walk in loving obedience to Him. And so that is the covenant confirmation, right? And so that is just going over all the Ten Commandments. And I learned something very interesting, interesting way to learn the Ten Commandments. And so I'm going to ask you first, do you know all the Ten Commandments in order? If you do, I'll give you $50. Yeah. All right. So I didn't come up with this, but a good way to remember the Ten Commandments is using your fingers. All right. And so let's go over the first one, which is close. So I am the Lord, your God. There's only one God, right? And then you shall have no other gods before me, right? So you shall not worship anyone else or other things or other gods, right? So that's two. Don't make yourself a graven image, right? And then three is close. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. And then four. Think of it like a little pillow. Remember the Sabbath, right? Keeping it holy. And then five, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land of the Lord. And then six, close. You shall not murder. And remember, what did Jesus say? If you have hatred in your heart, it's you've already murdered in your heart. Exactly. And then don't steal. Close. So marriage is supposed to be between two people and not five. So you shall not commit adultery. Okay. And then in other parts of the world, if you get caught, they will chop off your... Yes, you shall not steal, right? Eight. And then 9 is 4 is not 5. 4 is not 5. So you shall not give false testimony. You shall not lie. Right? False witness against a neighbor. And then finally, covet, right? And so just think of your both hands, right? When you see something, you want to grab it, you covet, right? You shall not covet your neighbor's house. So hopefully that I didn't come up with this, right? So hopefully you can use your hands and you can remember the Ten Commandments. And that's one of the good things about social media that I love. Sometimes I go down a rabbit hole, but that's another conversation. So let's go ahead and end with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your lessons. Thank you for your commandments and your covenant, Lord. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And thank you for the sprinkling of blood right on our hearts, that anybody that believes has already eternal life. And it is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that makes this the possibility, Lord. Lord, I pray for the message today that we'll be hearers and doers of your word. And it is in Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.